The book of the prophet Isaiah, and chapter 21, and verse 11. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire, return, come. Burden of Duma is a very current burden. Duma means silence. And what a silence there is in relation to the things of God today. It's a burden to the prophet here. He was, of course, interpretation of the passage was the impending judgment was to come upon this city and others. If you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find others who come under judgment. But I want to apply this tonight in relation to the gospel. Whether your heart is silent in relation to the claims of God. You're happy to talk about business and happy to talk about sport, maybe. Talk about your holidays, past, present and future. Talk about your health. That takes a lot of conversation, doesn't it? But what about your talking about God and Christ and the glad tidings? These are simple matters that we need to face. And here's a man coming out of Seir. You see, what's Seir? That's the natural man. Remember, Seir is the home of Edom. Edom was the product of Esau. And Esau was a man of the field, man who loved hunting. He even got his father deceived because he loved hunting, loved venison. Isaac loved venison. And it was to his taste. And he lost his heavenly portion, his heavenly ground, because he desired natural things that Esau provided. And that's a great challenge to all of us. But here's a man who's exercised. He calls out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? That's what people are doing today. They're uncertain as to what the future holds. What of the night? We want to speak about this as we go on tonight in relation to another night. Another night that is of infinite consequence to every soul in this room tonight. A night in which the Saviour of the world was put upon a cross and crucified. The one who came to save the world. He says that I came to save the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. Think of the Lord Jesus coming in. That wonderful moment, you know, that was another night, wasn't it? When Jesus was born. Multitude of the heavenly angels praising God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. What a wonderful moment. And they could say unto you, a Saviour is born, who is Christ the Lord. Heaven was aglow and earth was silent. As Duma, silent. Silent as to any response to God. And it's remained ever since, alas, apart from the intervention of God in the glad tidings. 2008 years since creation was that great intervention. Once in the consummation of the ages he appeared for the putting away of sin by his sacrifice. What a wonderful moment it was as Jesus came to the earth. What light he shed, the light of God, the love of God, in bringing to light what was in the heart of God for men. Man had a very hard ideas of God, you know. The Pharisees were a very hard, unrelenting, religious company. They didn't represent God in his grace. The Lord Jesus came to do that. And prove it in his pathway here. How wonderful the words of grace, it says, that came out of his mouth. They were absolutely amazed. So they wondered at the words of grace, because they'd never heard it before. They'd heard the Lord, no doubt, repeated in many a pulpit, but never the words of grace that came out of his mouth. And what did they do when he told them about God's blessing to the Gentiles? They wanted to throw him down the mountain. How solemn man's heart is, how hard it is. And if you're a religious man tonight, or a religious lady, thinking you'll go in your salvation, I trust your heart will be broken down. What of the night? What of the night? Think of the Lord Jesus moving on intended a grace to men for 3.5 years, shedding the light of the gospel in every way in which a man would listen to what he had to say. And yet the night drew near when he was to be made the sacrifice for sin. We must concentrate our minds and hearts, dear believing friends and others, on the cross of Christ. Well, that's the central point of our blessing. When Jesus gave himself for our sins, says we're waiting for the glorious day, appearing day of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. A work there at night in which the Lord was delivered up. What a night that was. The whole forces of evil were concentrated against the Saviour, as there he bore all that man could bring against him by way of hatred and cruelty. And yet the work was yet to be done as he was led to the cross. Wonderful to contemplate, you know, that night the Lord was up all night, the whole night. He celebrated the supper, the Passover, and the supper with his disciples. Then he went forth into the garden. I love that touch, you know. He was often there with his disciples, it says. But the devil knew he was there too. And Judas knew he was there. And he went up to him, embraced him in his kisses. Said, "Deliverest thou up the Son of Man with a kiss?" How the Lord felt it, you know. His feelings must have been moved. My friend, my own familiar friend, would deliver him up to his enemies. And yet the Lord was led, as it says, a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, dear friends, what wonderful story the gospel is. We can tell it in all its beauty. Think of the Lord Jesus going forward, meeting all the abuse that was hurled upon him, and the striking of his head, and the blinding of his eyes, and the scourging. Even a Roman governor having no cause to scourge him, he'd already pronounced his innocence, and yet he scourged him. He wanted to let him go, but he wouldn't because of the crowd. What a crowd it was. Let him be crucified. The Son of God to be crucified. What a moment for this world's history. And it has to be answered, my friend, by you tonight, as to whether you're in line with the world's judgment or whether you're in line with God's judgment. There's been no court of inquiry as to that deadly deed. They'll go back 50 years to things that happened in Northern Ireland. What about things that happened 2,000 years ago when the Son of God was guiltless and was crucified by wicked hands, slain by men? We will not have him. Let him be crucified. What a call from the human heart of those who God, of the Lord Jesus, had come to save. He didn't bear any malice, of course, did he? That wonderful words on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Had they known, Paul says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But there he was, and why was he there? That's the great point now for us, isn't it? He was there because of you and me. He was there because our sins had to be atoned for, had to be met. The judgment of God had to be met. And Jesus was there to bear our sins in his body on the tree. How many myriads of sins have been remitted? You can't estimate it. You understand something of the awfulness of the judgment that fell upon Jesus there. That cry from his heart, it was from his soul, you know. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The depths of his being, he felt what it was to be forsaken of his God. That God whom he served, the God whom he'd come to represent to men, the God that forsook him for 3 hours, in order that the sin question might be righteously met and judgment borne, that it may never come up again. Once in the consummation of the ages, as I said, he appeared for the putting away of sin by his sacrifice, and he's done it to God's eternal satisfaction. And never to raise again. We often love to think of that cry, "It is finished," but remember the cry first that he was forsaken. Remember, he was abandoned of his God. In those 3 hours, God could not look upon sin. He could not look upon his Son in those moments of agony. He had to leave him there to bear the full wrath of God in order that we might be free. We might be set free. How wonderful. And the testimony therefore that he died is the evidence that his blood was shed there too. And he shed his blood. Man didn't shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood. Out forth, without came blood and water from his side. Coming from a dead Christ, blood is the witness that that life has been surrendered and been surrendered forever. Never be repeated. The life of Jesus remains unique. The life of flesh and blood in absolute perfection remains unique and is held, you might say, in the annals of heaven. Think of the law of God looking upon that life and treasuring it. He speaks, I think, in relation to the Lord's address to Pergamos, that I'll give them to eat of the hidden manna that is in the paradise of God. I think that's a reference, you know, to the life of the Lord here and how it's treasured in heaven. Never can be repeated. We come into the gain of his life now, the new order of things altogether. We'll touch upon that. First of all, we want to make sure that the sin question is settled in your heart. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you confessed the Lord? Have you said, he is my Saviour, he is my Lord? Unless you do that, you're in peril of a lost eternity. We shall come to that in a minute. I'm going to show how these nights were set forth in the scriptures, how they were responded to positively and negatively as well. It bears upon every one of us here. What of the night? What of the night for you? What was the night, Lord, that the Lord passed through? That lovely hymn of Sankey, you know, often comes to mind. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through. Yeah, he found the sheep that was lost. But up from the mountains thunder risen, and up the rocky steep, there rose a cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. Wonderful. The Lord came to save sinners like you and me. And we keep going into death, suffering an awful death, over involved him coming out of death too. That's why I know my sins have been forgiven. I know they've been passed out of the depth of the sea, because Jesus has been raised. Therefore, believing on him who has raised up Jesus from among the dead, we have peace with God. Wonderful thing. That's a basis for the gospel. You young people may be uncertain as to your salvation. Read on what Paul says in Romans 5. There's a basis in your soul that can never be shaken. I know young people often wonder about that, doubt their salvation, but the doubts are in your heart and not in God's heart. Once you've given your heart to Christ, it's there and there eternally. But we want you to do it tonight if you haven't done it yet. Terrible thing to face eternity as lost. And this gospel, you know, the time is ticking on. What of the night? What of the night? Yes, it's drawing to a close. Before we go on to that, I'll just refer to three incidents in the scriptures about the watchman. The first is in Acts 16. Remember, there two lovers of the Lord were cast into prison, unrighteously, but they were cast into prison, and the jailer had made many stripes upon them, and yet in the middle of the night they were praising God with singing, and all the prisoners were listening to them. You know, that prison became a temple. Think of people who were praising God and prisoners listened. And midnight, there was a great earthquake. You will understand the feelings of the jailer. As he saw the sound of prison doors open, and the chains are all loosed. I love the way Luke presents these things so dramatically, doesn't he? And he says, the jailer rushed in. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Yes, the watchman was there. He was going to kill himself. And many, alas, today think that that's the way out, you know. God, the watchman say, do thyself no harm. He saved him from not only a lost life, but a lost eternity as well. Do thyself no harm, we're all here. What a watchman he was, wasn't he, Paul? And being able to bring in the blessing of the gospel. Was it, did he tell him a long history of things he had to do? No, he says, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. It hasn't changed all these hundreds of years, just the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. And he says, thou and thy house. He didn't want to leave the household behind. He brought these two loves of the Lord in, washed their stripes, and they sat down to a hearty meal together, praising God, blessing God. What a wonderful change. What a night that was. What a wonderful morning it was too. The morning cometh. A new day dawning for the Philippian jailer. I suppose he was found in the assembly at Philippi in those years ago. He'd been breaking bread or in fellowship with Paul and other, with Lydia and others who were gathered there. What a wonderful company they must have been. Well, we can see that from the letter that Paul wrote to them. What a wonderful company they were. Had the fellowship of the gospel. That's what Paul appreciated with the Philippian saints. Well, now there's another incident, which is rather a different one. And you'll find that in Daniel 5. There was a great feast. Belshazzar brought all his familiar friends together to make a great feast. And as they went on, he brought in the things of God, the holy things that had been used in the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had taken possession of and brought into Babylon. And he was using using these things, the praise of God, the gods of silver and gold and so on, and they're making merry. And suddenly there appears a writing on the wall, and he began to think, began to tremble. He could understand it, yet something must have entered his heart that, you know, something must have entered his conscience. He couldn't understand the writing. He called his astrologers, he called all the wise men. They couldn't understand it either. But there's a dear man there, I suppose he was getting on in years a bit by then, Daniel. And his grandmother, I think his grandmother, realized Daniel was one who interpreted dreams. And she told him about him. He said, bring him in, he says. And he brought him in, he says, if you read that writing, I'll give you the second place in the kingdom. And Daniel says, your reward be to yourself, but I'll read the writing anyway. And he read it, Mene, Mene, Lame, Euphrasin. How solemn those words were, interpreted for us, weighed in the balances and found wanting. What a night. In that night was Belshazzar slain. Yes, he lost it all by his infidelity, his complete disregard of the things of God. And I trust, dear friend, you'll not be on that line. It's a solemn thing to be in the presence of divine things and all their preciousness and to despise them, unless some have done it. Trust they'll be recovered under God's mercy. But don't despise divine things. Don't despise a Christian upbringing either. You say, well, my parents are pretty tough. They say that about me. Of course, service in the path of faith, toughness will weigh out eventually. You'll find that the things that you have to meet, you have to meet yourself. And that's a great lesson book as well. Another occasion was in Daniel 4. The greatest Gentile potentate that had ever lived, Babylon. He was walking about and he was priding himself in all it says. Is this the great Babylon? He said, I've made. And the watchers, it says, from heaven, took account of it. Yes, and they had a word for him too. Thou shalt be brought down, made to eat grass like a beast. His reason went from him. He went mad 7 times. Whether that was 7 years or not, I don't know. But yeah, there he was under the government of God because he gave glory to himself, not glory to God. These are instances of the watchman. Lord Jesus is watching. He's the great watchman, you know. The Spirit of God is the watchman here too. But the morning is coming. I want to refer to that. The morning coming. The work of redemption has been done. The Holy Spirit has descended to fill the hearts of believers. And to them the word comes, the watchman says, the morning comes. What a wonderful day it's going to be when Jesus comes, won't it? There'll be a great exodus from this world of every lover of Jesus. Maybe tonight, we don't know, we know, we keep on saying it's near. They said that, of course, 2,000 years ago, but it's still near. Not too far away from Peter's standpoint when he speaks about 1,000 years as one day. One day is 1,000 years. It's not how God reckons time, it's how we can reckon time. The day has been fixed when he's going to call every lover of him to himself. And that'll be the night for this world. The darkness will descend. No more gospel preaching. No more appeals for you to put your heart in the Saviour. The gospel will be finished. About 70 years ago, I suppose, a young man was giving testimony to his conscience why he couldn't take life down in Cardiff in South Wales. And after his testimony, one of the judges said, it'll be a solemn day when England draws its blinds on the gospel. That day is very nearly at hand, dear friend, very nearly at hand. Silence as to divine things is prevalent in the world. They don't want to know. Maybe there's some like this man, this Edomite, who's distressed about it. What of the night? Well, we can tell him, can't we? What is the night? The night will be the coming in of the Lord in judicial array at first, coming with the clouds of heaven, the armies of his might. He'll be appear in, when his followers will appear in white, not in khaki, but in white. So they come to take up rule upon the earth, and every power of evil will be subdued under this glorious person who went to the cross of Calvary for you. How wonderful to be a follower of Jesus, isn't it? I'd love to think of it. What a poor follower I am. But he knows well what every one of us is able for. But a day coming when the morning cometh. And then it says, David said, morning without clouds, when the sun shines after the rain, the green grass springs from the earth. That'll be what will happen when the Lord comes, you know, takes up his reign. The whole creation, the power of sin will be removed from it. And it will return to its glory, but in its proper place before God. God will have his rights in the seventh day, be a time of rest and joy. It won't last, of course. 1,000 years will pass, and man will be found still unregenerate, because the enemy will be loose from the pit. I didn't touch on that, did I? Beginning of the millennium, Satan will be bound and put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. You say he seems to have unlimited power, but it's under the hand of God, and he's going to be bound. Think of an angel coming, or maybe the Lord himself will bind him, put him down in the bottomless pit. He'll be powerless then. Man will enjoy the reign of Christ. But then, when all that is over, he'll rise up again shortly after the end of the millennium to raise man's opposition to God again until the fire of God comes down and consumes the whole company. Think of all that enter into it. The whole created universe will be dissolved under God's wrath until he brings in the new heavens and the new earth in which will dwell righteousness, where God will find his eternal satisfaction, and with myriads of others who have been redeemed as well. And I trust that you will be amongst them, dear friend, tonight. Don't be found amongst the lost. Remember the glad tidings was preached? Paul said, the glad tidings of the glory of the blessed God. If you don't repent, you'll be lost. Wonderful, terrible thing to be lost. A lost soul, no? You may be lost here. That's a bad enough experience, but to be lost eternally. You know, there's no future. And that's what persons try to rest in at this time. You see, if they don't want the gospel, but they'll be lost. The cries of the lost will be terrifying in the day to come. Think of the great white throne that will appear there. Every unbeliever, all will appear there. to get the God estimate of their pathway. And if they're not found in the Book of Life, as if God in his mercy opens the Book of Life there, not found there, they're condemned to eternal damnation. Well, I don't want to finish on that line, dear friend, because the gospel and the scriptures finishes on a beautiful line. There's a spirit of the bride say, come. The Lord Jesus says, I come quickly. Mm-hmm. Just everyone here will be able to say, amen, come Lord Jesus. May it be so for his name's sake.